for the live broadcast here on Facebook. And we thank Facebook for providing a platform that we can share the word in this time of separation that we've been going through. Amen, here due to the virus and all of that. So we want to thank God for that as well. We are just really a blessed church. And we are thankful that the Lord has made it possible for me and you to meet this way. We're going to go ahead and have a word of prayer. Traditionally, we do the Lord's Supper on today, and so we kind of missed that with the saints. Amen. But wherever you are, you may grab a little grape juice and a piece of bread. Amen. And you can go before the Lord, confess your sins. And the Bible says He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And so you can do that personally and privately. You don't necessarily have to be here at the building. Amen. And we pray that God will give you the grace that you need, and that fellowship is very important. We understand that, so we thank God for each and every one of you. Just wanted to give that instruction. Amen. And so before we get into the word for today, there is a word from the Lord, a lot going on in the world today. And so we're going to go ahead and have a word of prayer. I invite you to pray with us. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning, Father, for letting us get up this morning, that we're clothed and in our right minds. Father, we thank you for all the many blessings that you have given us, Lord God. We give you praise, Father, because you are excellent and you're worthy of all of our praise. Father, we pray that you give us a sense of peace right now, Father. There's so many things going on, so many things stirring in the world, and we know there are not things that are a surprise to you, Lord God. And so we just ask you to give us a sense of peace and purpose during these times. Father, we pray for every family affected by all the things going on, the virus out there, Father. Anyone having lost a loved one, we pray that you would bless them and comfort them at this time as only you can do, and provide for them, Lord God, whatever it is that they need. And Father, we pray that you would allow each of us, Father, to have a peace that passes all understanding. You said if we cast all our care upon you, that you care for us. And so, Father, that's what we want to do today, is unload the burden that's in our hearts, Father, for all the many things that are going on off of our heart, and put it on you. You said that we should, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known to God. And you would give us the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And you would allow that peace to rule our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And so, Father, we pray for peace for all that are praying right now. And that's what you have told us to do. Get the burden off of us and give it to you, Father. For we know you are almighty and all powerful. And you can do anything but fail. You have shown us that you can heal the sick and raise the dead. And so, Father, you did that when you showed us even the resurrection of your own Son, Jesus the Christ. And you seated him at your right hand to be the perfect mediator and the perfect intercessor for the sins of everyone who believes in him. And so, Father, today we ask you to bless all around the world. Father, let there be peace. Let there be actual justice. Father, teach us mercy, what mercy means, Lord God. And without mercy, we can't do anything. Father, we can't even approach your throne without your mercy and without your grace. Each one of us needs mercy from you, the Almighty. And so, Father, we just thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for a reasonable portion of health and strength. Thank you for provisions, Father. Thank you for all manner of ministry that you minister to us through the angels that you send forth to minister to the heirs of salvation. And Father, you said you would give perfect peace to whoever's mind was stayed on you. And so, Father, teach us not to let our minds get bogged down in the news and all the events going on in the world, but to keep our minds stayed on you. As we see many out today, Father, protesting the injustices that are going on in our culture. And Father, we pray for all of them that they would have peace and not be interrupted or hurt in any way, Father. We want the messages of peace for the protest to go forth. And Father, we pray you put protection over those who are in that situation right now as we stand with them, Father, because we know you are a just God and you want things done decently and in order. And you are not for anything that's not decent nor in order or violent or any of those things. And so, Father, give peace to all of us today. Bless your word today as it goes forth, oh God. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. And it's in the name of your son, Jesus, that we pray. And all the saints here together, amen. Amen. We thank God for another day's journey. As we said, we do have a message that I think is crucial for this time. There are a lot of things that are going on in the world that let us know what season this is. This is a special season in time. And we would say that according to the scriptures, that this is approaching the time that would be considered the end of the church age. We're kind of coming close to the end of the church age. We don't know exactly when that will be, but we do know that Jesus prophesied and said that Jerusalem would be trodden under the feet of Gentiles until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And he said this after he had come and he was crucified for the sin of the world by his own people. The scripture says he came to his own, which would speak of the Jewish people, and his own received him not. But unto as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the children of God, even those that believe on his name. And so God had predicted that Christ, the Messiah, would come to his own, be rejected, and be misjudged unjustly. That was the greatest injustice that has ever happened in the history of time, I want to let you know. So God is able to relate to injustice, like what we see going on today, which is creating quite a stir in the world. God has been subjected to that. God the Son has been subjected to the injustice that you and I are suffering today. And let's say the world is suffering, because if one suffers, really we're all suffering. And this is something that we need to understand. If there is no justice, God already knows about it. He's been through a similar thing himself and at a much greater level than anything you and I have ever experienced. And so he can relate to people who are being treated unjustly. So what I want to do is help you understand where we are in time. It's very important to understand where we are in time and many things that are going on today. And I want to give you a biblical framework to help you get through these times and understand what I'm talking about. And if you're not saved, I want you to know God wants you to be saved. He loves you. He has made a way for you to be saved. And salvation is a very critical thing, because we don't know what moment that we'll go out and we'll have to see God and give an account of our lives. And that will happen to every man, woman, boy, and girl. And so God has made a way by his grace to let you know that you can be saved. So you ought to know in your own heart, either I'm saved or I'm not. And it's something you have to determine by what God has provided. So we want to talk to you about that today and make that clear, so that hopefully by the time we conclude this message, you will understand what God requires of you if you don't already. And if you do already, then you'll have a little bit more comfort as well when the message is done. So the current events that are taking place right now are clear indications that mankind is entering into a crucial period that has been defined in the Bible by God, that indicates the coming of a period known as the times of the Gentiles, the coming of the close of this period. Now what happened, just to give you a nutshell to understand what I said, Jesus came, predicted that he would be crucified, and he said that Jerusalem, as we mentioned, would be trodden under the feet of Gentiles. And this is true. From 70 AD, shortly after Christ first came, which he was crucified in about 33 AD, about 33, 35, somewhere there as history best records it. And from that time up till 70 AD, Jerusalem, basically the Jews had been in captivity for some time, and they had been released back into their land just before the birth of Christ, but they were under Roman dominion. The nation of Rome was the superpower of the world, kind of like America is supposed to be today and has been for many years. And we see that starting to decline now. So the same thing was true. Jesus was born during the Roman Empire. The Jews were back in their land, occupying Israel when he was born, and he came, and that's why we know Herod, who was the king, was not in the lineage of King David, but he was in charge of Jerusalem at the time Jesus was born. And so this is why we say Israel has really been out of the control. They at one time were the pomp of the whole world. They were the blessed nation of the world, had great authority in the world during the reign of King David and King Solomon. But at the time when Jesus was born, they were under Roman authority. And so they were already under Gentile dominion. And that's what history will show you if you take time and study it. So from the time Christ was crucified, he declared that the Gentiles will be trodening, in other words, stepping over Jerusalem as they are now from that time all the way from 70 AD up until today. Back in 2018, I believe, was 70 years after the Jews went back into the land and occupied Israel again in 1948. And just today, on the news, you can check this when you get done with the message. Some of you have enough computer savvy, you can check it during the message. Benjamin Netanyahu, who is the prime minister there now, has just sent in a bid for reclaiming portions of the land over there that have not been under Israeli control, and it has created quite a stir in the land of Israel and around the world, because the Bible already says Israel will be back there, they will occupy the land, and there will be another temple, the third temple, people call it, will be built. And from the third temple, this is where the rule and the reign of the Antichrist, who is the consummate ruler of the world, he will take authority and rule the whole world from Jerusalem, right from Jerusalem, from the new temple that will be built sometime soon. It's already been in the plans of the Jews who have rejected Jesus for some time. The Jews who love Jesus, which many of them do and many of them are, because they know he is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, as the Bible predicted, they are the ones who know him are saved, and they're a part of the church. And they understand the mission of God, which is to reach out to the whole world. And so this is a period which I'd like to call today, for the purposes of this message, a period of amnesty from God Almighty. Amnesty means that I'm not going to hold you accountable for your sins. I'm going to let you go for stuff that you should justly be punished for, in other words. And so there's a period of amnesty. Many of you understand it because some of the governments in our time have offered amnesty to people with traffic violations and certain things. They said, okay, you can come on in and we'll not hold you accountable, give you a new court date, and you won't have to worry about paying a penalty. They release the penalty, my tongue's getting twisted, for the crime that we do, and allow us to come in and settle the debt that we owe. And so this is a period of amnesty, but it's from God Almighty. And he has offered salvation to whosoever believes in Jesus from that time clear on up till now. And so from the time he was rejected and crucified in Jerusalem back in 2020 years ago, we can go by our calendar, a little short of that, it was actually 33 years into that when Christ was crucified. On up until now, God has had a plan of amnesty going forth so that whoever believes in his Son, no matter who you are, no matter what you have done, you will not perish, but you will have everlasting life. The summary of that I can give you in one verse, and you know this one. This is one of the most famous Bible verses in the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. John 3:17 says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So that is the only way anyone can be saved in the world, and that is the proclamation of the Most High God. And what that is amnesty from God. God is saying, no matter what you have done, no matter how grievous your sin may be, you are able to be forgiven. And yet we all need to be forgiven, because even if we have done life pretty well and we have not done a lot of stuff, maybe somebody is saying, okay, I don't really do a lot of bad stuff. And, you know, most of us don't. But the fact is, if you have done one thing that breaks God's law, then you are guilty of the whole law. See, because God is absolutely holy. So when you see stuff going on, running rampant, and people look like they're doing really horrible stuff like we're seeing today in the news, then, we consider that to be like grossly unjust, but we don't think the lie I told yesterday or any of the other things, the anger that I had that was excessive, we don't think that's really bad. And so we kind of have a sliding scale how we judge what's just and what's unjust. And so, but the fact is, God is absolutely holy, and he does not tolerate any sin. This is the reason why you need Jesus. Jesus is the only one who came and was perfect and spotless and did not break God's law at all. And as I say here, and those of you who go to St. Timothy or have heard messages from Straight Gate Ministries, you know, we say he was holy from the womb to the tomb. See, he was born in righteousness from his mother Mary, being overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, and she was with child of the Holy Ghost, and she bore him without sin, and he lived his entire life, 33 and a half years without sin, never breaking God's law at all, in any way at all, and then he was sacrificed for our sin, and that's what you see when you see the cross. And so basically I want you to understand the reason the grave couldn't hold him is because he had not sinned. Everybody else who went in the grave is still in the grave. Let me let you know, nobody got up out of the grave. There's only one who rose from the dead, and his name is Jesus, the Messiah. If Jesus hadn't gotten out of the grave, there would be no church. And the message of the early church was preaching the gospel, the good news that God sent his son, and his death, his burial, his resurrection was for the sin of the whole world, that he might introduce what I like to call the proclamation of amnesty from the Almighty through his son, Jesus. That's what God has made available to the world. So simply put, we call that the gospel. And the reason the word is gospel is that it's good news that God will allow heinous sinners like me and like you, if you want to be fessed up today, you may not. Now, some of us don't think we're that bad, and we say that. But in the sight of a righteous God, 100% pure, 100% holy, one sin is enough to cast you into the deepest, darkest hell. And that's the thing that I want you to understand. So the gospel that the church was left on hand to proclaim is the proclamation of amnesty from the Almighty through his son, Jesus the Christ. And so that's why we preach the gospel. Now let me go on record here. I need to talk about a few things, and my time getting away quicker than I thought. But the current events that you see right now, that there's a clear indication that mankind is entering into this crucial period, which is about to come to an end, as we mentioned, the times of the Gentiles. So this is an indicator which is being seen right now in the world. Everything going on in Jerusalem over there today, check it on the news when you get done with the message. Is already prophesied in the word that it would happen. It was in the Bible, been in there for over 2,000 years since the 90 AD, the first century, when the last book in the Bible was put in and the canon was closed. In other words, the standard of which books God has sent to the world. And everything that it says is coming down one by one, day by day, getting closer and closer. Now there's three things that it will take for this Antichrist to rise. We talked about this on last week briefly. And you're going to need a what is called the beast. That's a person who speaks before the people and declares all authority and power over the world. He will be a one world ruler. Then there is the false prophet, which is an unholy union between the beast and a pseudo church. It's not the real church. It's a false church that tolerates all kinds of sin and wickedness. And then there will be the devil. Satan will energize those, and that's the unholy trinity. The beast, the false prophet, and the devil will get together and deceive the entire world. So the escape from that is trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the true Messiah, who has already come, already been crucified, already been buried, already rose after 3 days and nights, and he showed himself alive and declared, "All power is given to me in heaven and earth. And go you therefore," he told in Matthew 28, 18 and 19, "all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go you therefore and teach all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you," Jesus said as he dispatched his 11 disciples. At that time, Judas had committed suicide and he was not among the 12 at that time, so it was only 11. But he told them, "Go out and preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. Tell people the good news about the proclamation of the amnesty of the Almighty through his son, Jesus the Christ." And you know what? The church would have been shut down immediately had they have come up with a body and showed you, "Oh, here's the dead body of Jesus." That didn't happen. So that's why we're still here preaching today. Now, let me go on saying, with those three things I mentioned, the beast, the false prophet, and the devil, who is trying to take over everything in the world. If you want to know why is the world confused, we talked about it last week. Psalms 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? For the rulers set themselves and they take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. That's where we are today. They're saying, let us break their bands asunder. We want to cut loose from all the old traditional things that have been in the world. That's what we're saying. Just let us get free from all that stuff. Let us just cut loose and do our thing. See, and what it is rebellion against the truth. It's rebellion against the amnesty of God. God wants people to be right. You know what? God wants there to be a one world system, but it will be ruled and controlled by his son, Jesus the Christ, and those who have believed in him and accepted him by faith. And this will happen after this time of destruction that will come upon the world because of the unholy trinity, the beast, the false prophet, and Satan, who are deceiving the whole world. And so they're deceiving everyone who doesn't believe the truth. So it's important for you and I to believe the truth. If you have never accepted Jesus as your Messiah, as your Savior, do it today. It'll be the very best thing you ever did. It was the best thing I ever did. So the time period from Israel's rejection and crucifixion of Jesus the Messiah until this very second could be known as a period of proclamation of amnesty from the Almighty through his son Jesus. So that's where we are today. So what I want you to understand, Isaiah the prophet writing in the Old Covenant in chapter 55, verse 6. We had this as a part of a Mother's Day message and I didn't get to deal with it then. So I decided to bring it up again today. Isaiah crying out before Christ came, about 500 years before the birth of Christ. Because God has always offered amnesty from the very beginning. Nobody would ever have been saved if God was not a gracious God. God could have said, Adam, you sinned. Bye, see ya. And there wouldn't be any human beings at all. But God showed grace and mercy all the way from the very beginning, even from Adam. That's why there's so many people on the earth now. You see, and why? Because God is a just God, a righteous God, and a merciful God. And he loves man. He always loved Adam. And so he continued to love him even after Adam sinned. And so I want you to understand that God had mercy and there was amnesty even then, in a sense, although this was before the law. But let's move along. Isaiah says this, Isaiah 55 and 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So God has declared amnesty all through the scriptures. No one could ever be saved without his grace. You know why? Because everyone has broken his law. There's not a person who ever has been born who has not broken God's law. I always tell the church this, and you may have heard this illustration before. It's not mine. I heard it from somebody who thought it was wonderful. If you took the Ten Commandments, which everybody would agree are good things, nobody, if I asked you, is it okay if I come and steal your stuff, you will say no. I say, is it okay if I come and take your wife? You'll say no. Is it okay if I lie to you? Most people will say no. And we can go around that list of 10 commandments and everybody would say, these are good things and I want these in my life. I want to be just like with God. It says, the Bible says God is a jealous God, then we shall have no other gods before him. So when we put material things, stuff in the world, false gods, all that before God, God is angry because you know what? He created everything. He made the heavens and the earth and everything that's in them. So why should somebody worship something or anything else? And it's only one God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And he has given his son. But God is gracious and he's merciful. You know what? If you got authority and power, you don't have to boast about it. You know, you can just sit back because I have everything under control no matter what you do. But write those Ten Commandments on a mirror. Just imagine a round mirror with pie slices and one of the Ten Commandments in each slice. Now let me give you a hammer. Take that hammer and break the one that you broke. I lied. When you hit it, you know what you're going to do? You're going to break the whole mirror. And you're guilty of the whole law. That's what the word says. So if you break the law, in one point, James 2:10 says you're guilty of the whole law. So this is why you and I cannot be saved by doing good works, because we have some defects and we have not done perfect good works all our lives. And so what God has, amnesty, and he has mercy. And he has provided that throughout the years. The law was a system of mercy toward Israel. Yeah, they sinned, and God says three times a year, Deuteronomy 16:16, all your males shall come before the Lord your God in the place that he set for himself, the place his name there, which is Jerusalem. Come to the temple, and don't come empty. In other words, bring a sacrifice. Now, why bring a sacrifice? The sacrifice is necessary to pay for the sin that I did when I broke your law. See? So that's a system of mercy and amnesty. Even though it was called the law, it had built into it a system of mercy. And it had to be done, in other words, for the person to be declared righteous. They would have to come on the Day of Atonement, which is called Yom Kippur, and offer a sacrifice before God. Why? Because everyone is guilty. Everyone has broken God's law. There's none righteous, Romans 3 said. We talked about that last week. There's not even one. None. Everybody. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So everyone needs a Savior. Everyone needs to be right with God. And God loves you, and he made a way for you, and the proclamation of the amnesty of Almighty God through his Son Jesus is what the church's primary responsibility is. Now, I know when you look at the church today, I got to go on record, you might hear everything from health, wealth, and prosperity to how I'm going to teach you how to live your life every day and all kind of stuff. But the primary duty of the church and the primary commission of the church is to preach the gospel, the good news that God loves you. He has given his Son, who paid your bill in full in order to present you before him without a spot or a wrinkle. And he died and even defeated death, so you don't even have to worry about death in the grave. Now, to me, that's critical and that's important. And let me explain this now. The church talks about a lot of other stuff. You can go to churches and never hear the gospel. You can go there for weeks and weeks and never hear the gospel. You can look on TV and you'll see hundreds of churches that are preaching something, but not the gospel. And so I want you to understand, gospel is good news that even though I'm a wretch, undone, in the sight of Almighty God, God has had amnesty and he sent his Son so he can make me right. Why? Because he loves me. He loves you, just like you are. And he knows that we have a problem with sin. And so this is why he gave Jesus, because he loves you. See? So all I'm asking you to do today is get in on the deal before it's over. Because time is coming and it's about to be wound up. That's why Isaiah said, seek ye first. He said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, that's me. And the unrighteous man his thoughts, that's me. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now this is the reason why, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. In other words, God's thoughts are so much higher than mine and yours, we can't even figure it out. We can't even begin to approach the magnitude of his thoughts. See, you know why? Look at the world. Look at the heavens. God stretched them out and he spoke and everything came into existence. We got people telling us today, oh, there was a big explosion. Y'all know I've said this before. Wait till you go in that coffin without Jesus if you want to talk about a big explosion. You're going to be sorry that you went in there and you didn't accept the proclamation of the amnesty of Almighty God through his Son, Jesus Christ. So I beseech you today, in the name of Jesus, that you would trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, as Isaiah has proclaimed here. Why? God's thoughts are not our thoughts, neither are his ways our ways. He says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And so he says, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, and it shall not return unto me void, but it will accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Now this is a prosaic way of saying whatever God has decreed, you can count on it. It will be so. Just like when you plant a seed, a plant is producing fruit after its own kind or whatever it was. That's an amazing miracle right there that you and I witness every day. And God made the world perpetual so that it would continue to reproduce itself, so there will be food and all those things for all of time. And so I want you to understand that God loves you just like you are. He gave his Son. And so that we don't have to stay that way. Now, let me go on record. You heard me impugn myself a number of times. And it's true. I'm better than I used to be. Any of you who knew me back way back when, as some of our friends say, in the throwback days, you know what kind of cutting up I used to do. And I'm way better than I used to be, better than I was back in those days. And I'm getting better. And I'm on the right road now, as we like to sing in the song. I fixed it up with Jesus and I'm on the right road. Now I'm going in the right direction. I was going down quick back then, and it was only God's mercy that kept me from going on into destruction. And I'll let you know that. That's a personal testimony of mine. But I want you to see a trend here today, and we won't try to keep you too long today, but there is a trend going on in the world against the truth. And it always has been, but today it's getting worse, so it lets us know what season we have entered into. Peter put it this way. He says in chapter 3 of 2 Peter, and this is not our normal New Testament text, he says this, that I want you to be mindful, 2 Peter 3 and 2, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of our Lord and Savior, knowing this, this is the part I want you to tune in on, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust. This is people who say, the Bible's not true. This is true, that's true, something else is true. They scoff and they mock. I heard a radio program on my way to church with people cracking jokes and scoffing at God's word. What they were talking about was when President Trump held up, as he said, a Bible, because somebody asked him, was that your Bible? And he said, it is a Bible. And they were cracking jokes about that. Moses opened up a Red Sea and all this kind of stuff. So this is the time we live in. People do not take the word of God seriously. You know, we like to use that word seriously. We say it about 45 different ways. And I'm going, seriously? You all are actually going to mock God? So many people mock God day in and day out. And that's what Peter says. It's a sign of the times. And this is what they're saying. And where is the promise of his coming? Is Jesus really coming back? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. See? And so people automatically mock the truth. And that lets you know what time it is. It's almost time for the times of the Gentiles to expire. And people better be ready. They had better be ready, because time is coming around right now. And this is what I want to go over here. I want you to see that the situations that have become evident in the world at this time are a clear indication that the people are disgusted and frustrated about the way things have become because of defects in governments and the world, and even the visible church. There are people in the visible church. Now, I want you to distinguish between the visible church and the actual church. The visible church might have all kinds of stuff that's not right, because God said that these scoffers and mockers would come, saying, where is the promise of his coming? There will be a false Christ and a false unholy union between the beast and a one world religious system and a one world economic system, which will be controlled by the beast, and a one world demon who is Satan himself, who wants to be like the Most High God. And so that is cranking up, folks. You're either in one kingdom and you have allegiance to it, or you're in the other. You know what? By default, if you don't accept Jesus as your Savior, which is the proclamation of amnesty from Almighty God, you're automatically in the other one. And there really are only two. You're either in Christ or you're not. That's it. So don't go by what you see in the visible church. But just because somebody says they're the church doesn't mean that they are the church. And the scripture says that, and you can count on it. So I want you to understand that both of which the governments that you see crumbling and turning into one system slowly, one by one, and the visible church are both all heading into the system of the Antichrist, and both of which have caused many who are not aware of what is God's reason for their existence to enter into the state of discontentment overall. So people are entering into a state of discontentment because they do not know the truth of God. Now, it's not God who is causing you not to know the truth. And so we need to understand that. It's not God. God wants you to know the truth. That's why he gave his son. And when you receive Christ to be your Savior, he will also indwell you by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you to all truth. He will teach you everything you need to know about the scripture. And I want you to know the scriptures are the very most important document that exists in the heavens and the earth. And you can count on it. It's so black and white clear, like stuff going on today in the news, already in the book. And when you get where you trust Jesus, you'll be able to see what God is doing. His thoughts will become your thoughts. His ways will become your ways, like Isaiah said. So the prophet Isaiah reminds us that there is a particular time that God has allowed all people everywhere to receive his grace and mercy and to be saved out of the world, which is being misled by the defective governments and corrupted spiritual leaderships of the world who have misrepresented God and fallen short of their God-given purposes of providing a simple system wherein all people can enjoy God's blessings and dwell with mutual prosperity under his blessings. So the protests, you see, yes, people are doing unjust things and they are ignoring segments of the population. That's because of the twistedness of the human governments, see? And so that's why there's so much upheaval right now on that very subject. But Isaiah says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Then let him return unto the Lord and he will abundantly pardon. See, so God is offering amnesty to us and he will give you an understanding that's deeper than all the trouble you see going on in the world. And the reason is he loves you. He wants you to understand. And he wants you to be able to see through the veneer of false and phony governments and the rise and fall of government systems and the agenda of the one world order that's been going on for a long time and I believe is about to come to a fruition. So you and I need to wake up right now, as they say, wake up and smell the coffee. Get right with Jesus right now. And so moving on, our time's about up here. Let me go to the New Testament verse that I want to share with you today. This is from 1 John chapter 2. Verse 18, John says this, writing to the church, children, it is the last hour. And just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. For this we know that it is the last hour. From this we know it is the last hour. That's why I'm telling you. All these arisings and appearances of Antichrist, things which are against Christ, things that try to replace Christ, things that deny Christ. There's so many of them in the world. There were even back then, but now they're on the rise. We see it every day. There are even more today than there ever have been in the history of time. It's going to culminate in that the unholy trinity I told you about, the beast, the false prophet, and the devil will deceive the whole world, all who don't believe Christ, that he is Savior, that he has already risen from the dead and defeated the grave. So he says, be aware, John wants the church to know, and this should be the subject matter that the church, the true church, is preaching. So he says, they went out from us, that's the false churches, but they were not all, not really of us, for if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they were not all of us. So that's why you have a false church. You want to know why? Because they went out away from the truth. They start doing their own thing. They set the Bible aside, start to twist it for their own purposes and for financial gain or whatever it was, any reasons, for sexual favors, whatever kind of mess you see that goes on in the visible church, which is not the true church. Yeah, that goes on, and God permits it. Doesn't mean he approves it. You know, when he judges it, as a matter of fact, you can't go against God and keep on getting away with it. Eventually, it will catch up with you. See, but the scripture says that this is of the time of the proclamation of the amnesty from Almighty God through his son Jesus. Turn around right now, whoever you are. If you're somebody in a false church system, turn around. God will still accept you. If you can hear my voice, like the Bible says, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Turn around right now. Tell God you're sorry. Accept his son. Realize that he is Lord, God the Son, and that God raised him from the dead so that you shall be saved. And he will save you. You still have time to get in on God's deal. So John says they went out so it would be obvious. Now, this is the difference between those who went out and corrupted what God said and those who stayed in. Verse 20, 1 John 2:20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. You know what? When you believe Christ, God is going to take up a residence in you. You know what? He will get in you and give you an understanding of his word that you have never had before. This is the only reason why the true church understands who God is, what our mission is, and what we're supposed to be doing. And so he will extend that to you as well. Get into Christ. Ask Christ to come into you. Ask him to forgive you for your sin. And what? The Holy Spirit will move in. He will take up residence and you'll be sealed. Ephesians 4:30 says that the ones who believe in Christ are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise for the day of redemption. And once you receive Christ, he will never leave you nor forsake you. He'll be with you always, he promised, even to the end of the world. So we beseech you today to receive this proclamation of amnesty from the Almighty through his son, Jesus. That's what we want everyone to do. You will get a peace that passes all understanding. You won't even understand, why am I not stressing over all this drama that's going on all around? That's the thing I want you to see. You will understand that God is with me, and if God is for me, who can be against me? See, that's what you need to get. You need that peace so that when you see the craziness going on in the world, God has already predicted that it would be that way, you can have joy unspeakable and full of glory. And you don't have to worry about it. God will give you a new purpose for your life. See, you know what? That's the only thing that's important is your purpose. You know what Jesus said? Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again to receive you unto myself. And where I am, there you may be also. So he said, I want you to be sure of where you're going when you are in this life and as you're going through your everyday, day-to-day life. I want you to, when you see misunderstandings and unjust stuff, you can have a heavenly perspective on it. You don't have to be just confined to your own limited thoughts. Because we can't understand everything. See? So what my peace, I run into the ark of safety. I go to God in prayer, and God knows how to settle my heart if I'm running into a situation that's over my head. John, going on, let's get back to the text so we can wrap this up. He says, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it. And because no lie is of the truth. You want to be in the Word. Jesus said, sanctify them by the truth. Thy Word is truth. See, and this is where we get the facts we need in order to build our lives on the truth, so that no matter what we see shaking in the world, no matter what troubles are coming and going, no matter who rises in power or who's in control in the Kremlin or anywhere you go, Red Square or the White House, doesn't make a difference who's anywhere. My faith and my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ the solid rock I stand, and all of the ground is sinking sand. I'm going to stand on the rock of my salvation, Jesus Christ our Lord. And so John, going on in his admonishment, says this, who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. A lot of that going on. We don't have time to extrapolate. Time's about up. Then he goes on to say, whoever denies the Son does not have the Father, and the one who confesses the Son has the Father also. And as for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you shall also abide in the Son and in the Father. So John wants you to understand there's no separating God the Son from God the Father, which is what all cults and false religions do. See? And so you need to know that. You need to understand. Christ makes me complete. When I believe in Jesus the Christ and that God raised him from the dead, the Bible's promise is you shall be saved. And that's it. See? God will finish the work that he starts in you. Philippians 1:6 says, for I am confident of this very thing, that he which has began a good work in you will continue to perform it even until the day of Jesus Christ. God doesn't leave it up to the church. You know, the church is here to feed you on knowledge and understanding, like God told through Jeremiah the prophet in Jeremiah 3:15. He says, I will give you pastors after my own heart to feed you on knowledge and understanding. So God gives you a sense of being able to understand who are the pastors that are really getting me into the Word and bringing me closer to an understanding of what God is saying in his Word and what God is doing in the world and where we are in time. That's what the true pastors of God are doing. They're not trying to stroke you and get you into all kinds of other stuff. And it's not all about finances. It's not all about having a chateau on the make and building up your portfolio. None of that. It's about God loving you just like you are and giving his son for you and also building you and shaping you into the man or woman that he wants you to be. And so primarily that's it. So the Apostle John declares to all of us And he declares to us all a time when there will be a departure from the basic reason that the church exists. That's what we've been talking about, which is to preach the good news that God has provided his son, Jesus, as the only mediator between God and man, and God provides a complete salvation to everyone who believes in him, and that he is God's only son, the Christ, the Messiah, that anyone can have a proper relationship with God, the Father. Only through Christ is that possible. So I hope that these words will have comforted you during this time. And if you haven't accepted Christ to be your Savior, I'd like to lead you in a word of prayer. And even if you have, I want you to pray with me right now, if you don't mind, as we close this message for today. Because we are in critical times. Paul has said these are the perilous times. But let us pray. Eternal God, we praise you, we bless you, we exalt your name. Father, today we know the world is reeling and shaking, Lord, and the things that you have said in your word are coming to pass. Even though you closed the book 2,000 years ago, back in 90 A.D., the last word was penned, and yet your word is just as fresh and more fresh than the newspapers and the internet news that's coming out today. So we know that it is divine, Father, because you have said that things that are going on, you've already told us that prediction, and we can see that you know exactly what you're talking about. So, Father, we come today to accept your gift of amnesty, which was provided by the death, burial, and resurrection of your son, Jesus. And we ask you to fill our minds and our hearts with the knowledge of your word. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Lead us and guide us to all truth. Father, we'll be careful to give you all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. We pray that you give some people understanding, Lord, of what's going on right now, in order that we might be able to rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Father, bless everybody who is praying that prayer with me. And Father, we give you the praise and the glory. It's in Jesus' mighty name that we pray. And the church said together, amen. Amen. I would like it if you would, just as I go to my seat, go ahead and share this message with anybody you know. Share it with everybody. That's the duty of the people who love God, who have received that amnesty from God. It's our duty to notify everyone else that God loves them just exactly like we do and like they are. However they are, he loves them. He will accept them. Whatever they're struggling with, he will accept them. See, you know what? He won't leave you in the mess he finds you in. That's what I want you to know. He is great, and he is awesome, and he has saved many. And it doesn't make a difference what you're struggling with. God is able to give you what you need in order to make you right. The church is the most universal organization on earth. We accept anybody in any situation, no matter what you're struggling with. But God will turn you around. He'll fix you. You know what he told us to do? Receive them and love on them and teach them my word, and I'll do the rest. See, so he told us to catch the fish. He'll clean them. We don't try to clean them over here. We just try to tell you the truth, and then God will fix you up himself. Amen. We hope you got a good word from the message today. We love you, and we thank God for you, and you will be in our prayers. We always pray for our recipients who receive the message from us. And so we thank God for you. We're going to go right ahead and let you get on into your day. And may God richly bless you. Amen. Amen.